Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Twins baseball, an hour away, less than an hour away here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Five Minnesota-made hot sauces that will make you forget there's a sriracha shortage. And we bring in Joy Summers from the Star Tribune, the food writer for the Star Tribune. First of all, I'll just say this. As a fan of hot sauces, as we established in the last break, I am not weeping over a sriracha shortage. I don't like sriracha. I don't think it's a valid hot sauce. Joy, do you agree with me on that?
A valid hot sauce? What, it's spicy? It's what?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't know. I think there's too many R's in it, too. I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it sriracha? Sriracha or sriracha? I don't know. Get out of here. I mean, there's better options.
Imagine having to spell it over and over again while you're writing a column for the local paper.
So Joy disagrees with you. It's legit.
I think it's valid. I think it's really versatile. So that's what made writing this article so easy, because I was able to take all the different ways that we use sriracha. Like, my husband eats sriracha just on a chip. Like, it's a dip. It's kind of got a little bit of sweetness to it. It's kind of like a spicy stand-in for ketchup. Like, you really can put it on everything. So my thought was, like, let's take these local hot sauces that do have distinctive flavors and kind of point out all the different ways that I like to use sriracha and how these hot sauces are just a little bit better than sriracha. So hopefully maybe we can agree on that point.
Yeah, I think so. So, but you pointed, you know, I guess people think Minnesota, Scandinavian, what do they know about hot sauce? They want it as bland as possible. But Minnesota really has some great hot sauces. And you mentioned, like, Crybaby Craig's. I see Crybaby Craig's all over the place. That's a good one. But there's a lot of good hot sauces here.
Yeah. Oh, Crybaby Craig's is one where I literally have a gallon jug in my refrigerator, because if the apocalypse comes, I can't run out of Crybaby Craig's. I love this hot sauce. It's made with habaneros, but it's not burn your face off spicy. He ferments it in a way that kind of brings out the floral sweetness of habaneros, and it's got this garlicky kick. So I love it on eggs in the morning. It's so bright, and the spiciness is just kind of like a wake up your palate spiciness. It really adds a lot to a lot of things. Like, it's great mixed in with mayonnaise and put it on a BLT. Like, it's just super versatile, really, really good. I mean, all of these are really versatile and good. I've also got Folly Hot Sauce on here. So Folly is a local coffee company, which you would not think, oh, coffee company, hot sauce, of course. But what their hot sauce brings to the table is this kind of like Mexican-y cumin mole kind of flavor note. It's really rich and deep and toasty flavored, and I love putting that on tacos, especially like if I'm doing the quick weeknight ground beef tacos. You dash some of that in there, and it really kicks it up and gives the flavor this like really deep savory backbone that's just so satisfying.
Let's talk about this. I'm going to butcher it, Joy. This Hoyo Bas Bas, is that how I say it?
I think that's just how you say it. So that is this fantastic, vibrant green sauce. It happens to be vegan. It's all, vegetal green notes. But it's from this amazing company. The name Hoyo is the Somali word for mother. And the whole company is mothers, offering them opportunity to work outside the house, make their own independent income, and feed people. Because at least that's one of my motherly roles, is I'm going to make sure every neighborhood kid that wanders in here is getting fed something they love, something that's really nourishing. And the jar of this sauce just goes so quickly in my house. I love the company also makes sambusas, which are those like crispy, flaky, beef or lentil filled pastries, savory pastries. They're in the freezer section at local co-ops, and they're so handy to have on hand for like after school snacks, which I know we've got coming up, or like for me, a quick lunch with a salad. I'm going to spoon this verdant, zesty sauce on top. This is another one where it's not a punch you in the face heat. It's more warm, tender spice that kind of like builds up as you take bite after bite and then lingers on the palate with those bright green herbal flavors. It's just wonderful.
I love the origin story here. Miriam Mohammed, a local woman, started the company, as you mentioned, as a way to lift up other moms. She's a local Somali mother. And of course, it's not that spicy. She's probably feeding it to her kids who don't want it too spicy, you know, so she knows what the kids are going to tolerate. But this is great. They're selling locally. They're selling on Amazon. I love that this is a local company started by moms. So just a big shout out to them.
Oh, I love moms feeding kids and moms, and they're just is
new stuff.
Everything wonderful, and I love lifting up other women. Like,
yes, thank you.
Let's build that strong community.
What about what if you want a punchy in the face hot sauce? So I love punch me in the face hot sauce. If I had a hot sauce company, I'm going to name it Punch Me in the Face because that's how I want it. Is there one you can recommend?
I've got a couple. So in the article, I also have the Jingle Jangle salsa from the Salsa Collaborative. That's kind of their milder hot sauce. They have a whole lineup. I would go dig deep into their lineup and find one of their habanero hot sauces or one of the spicier ones because they can really bring the heat. They also have a Korean flake chili crisp that it's called Panda Crunch. And that's one where, like, that heat builds and builds with every bite. It is snappy and garlicky, but it's got that really distinctive burn that gochujang and Korean chili flake can bring to the table. It's another thing that's so good mixed into other things, and it gives you that texture. One other hot sauce that had been an omission from my first roundup that I wrote about then later the next week is another bad investment hot sauce from Lost Capital. Lost Capital is a St. Paul-based hot sauce company. These guys bring the heat. This is definitely not your beige palette company. This is fiery, spicy. They use all these local peppers. They use peppers that I've never heard the name of. They're based in Falcon Heights. Their sauces are available at Lund's and Byerly's, and they have a whole lineup. They have a super fruity, gingery mango habanero hot sauce that has like it hits that zing on the deep floral burn your face off, like your nose is going to be kind of tingling, your eyes might want to sweat a little bit hot
Love
sauce
it.
But it also has the fruitiness of it that actually it was my son's favorite hot sauce of all the ones we tried. He kept eating it and crying and eating it and crying.
My kind of kid. I love it.
I was so impressed, and watching him go through that emotional range was hilarious. But yeah, the Lost Capital hot sauces really bring the fire, and they are available online as well and at co-ops and at a lot of local breweries. But I would definitely like eat your way through their lineup. It's really good, and I love that they use more than just the standard peppers. Like, it's not all just Fresno, jalapeno, or Scotch bonnet based. They're growing their own and coming up with like really cool varietals, so it brings different flavors along with the heat.
We're speaking with Joy Summers, the food and drink reporter for the Star Tribune. Joy, I'm looking at some of the prices of these, and the one you were just talking about, the K-Mama sauce, you know, you say you can buy it in 6-ounce bottles, you know, from $3.99 at Target. But the one prior, you know, the one who was started by Somali mothers, you're talking about, you know, like a $9 for a 12-ounce jar, 3 jars for $30. I mean, is this like a luxury item that people are definitely paying for? You know, that seems like a lot of money.
For that one, I will say you're also paying for the labor of the mothers in the community that you're lifting up by supporting that product. But That's also a significant jar of hot sauce. It's not okay. One of those little tiny bottles that you think of. It's more like a pickle jar. Like it's okay. It's a larger volume of hot sauce, so I think the price reflects that.
Okay.
Joy, I mentioned this too, the name Tim McKee, obviously very familiar with people who enjoy the food scene of the Twin Cities, and he's got a new restaurant with a Spanish flair opening up in the North Loop.
I'm so excited about this because Tim McKee was the pinnacle of fine dining at La Belle Vie. He also opened Solera. He was running the food at a lot of the like uptown flashy restaurants for a while. He was like coming up with menus for Chino Latino and Libertine back in the day. So he has had his hands in the local food world and shaped the way we eat at restaurants for quite some time. And then after he shuttered Octo Fish Bar in St. Paul's Lower Town, which I think really suffered from the pandemic, and that location didn't have great parking. Anyway, he took some time out. He sat down and thought about all the ideas he has and what he really missed. And being in the kitchen really fulfills a creativity that he has been missing. It's a big part of his personality that he hasn't been able to fulfill. He recently did a Spanish-styled food pop-up at Travail. And it, again, that spark that was inside him lit. Now he's planning a whole restaurant, and it's going to be inspired by the food in the Basque region, somewhere he's traveled extensively. He studied. He has all the books, and it's just an idea he's been percolating with for years and years. And what we do know is the restaurant will be in the North Loop. It will be on First Street. So that's the same street where Spoon and Stable is now. But we don't know exactly where it's going to be, and we don't know exactly when it's going to open, which is kind of weird. Like, he's aiming for sometime next summer. But after covering restaurants for years, I can tell you the timing is never what you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what it is, what it's called, where it's going to be. But we're all, those of us who have eaten at his restaurants over the year, we're so excited because he brings fantastic food that, especially with this concept, I think is going to be so good sharing with friends. Like, yes. This is the kind of place where you go and bring a crew who are good at sharing, because not all orders out are great at sharing, and go get snacks upon snacks for hours and hang out and have a good time.
Well, when I think Spanish food, I think tapas. Would that be part of this menu, do you think?
Exactly, except it's going to be pinchos, which is very similar, but instead of small plates, it's more like small bites. So these are the ones where you're, you know, eating with toothpicks. So the utensil bill is probably going to be low for them. So you just eat little snacks, just a parade of little tiny bites. And
hey, Joey, we only have about a minute left. But I just wanted to ask you, are restaurants back when you go? Are you seeing full restaurants? Are they making money? You know, is it pandemic, pre-pandemic?
I never know if they're making money, but people are definitely there. I went out to a patio last night, and it was packed the whole time we were there from like 7 o'clock until they were shutting down at 10 o'clock. It's a vibrant scene that's coming back. And I think with people like Tim McKee, we're starting to see people find their creativity again. We're eating lots of pastas and burgers and fried chicken sandwiches and pizzas, and that's all great. But I think the culinary scene is ready for some fresh ideas and some people to take some big risks and big swings. And I think that's going to be next year. I think we're going to have so much cool stuff happening.
I love it. Joy, we love talking to you. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you.
That's Joy Summers, food writer for the Star Tribune. She was on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Al Franken, Mr. Funny Man, knocked some dead last night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. That's next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.